everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Well, today I have a self-professed projector to help us on our next type podcast. So obviously today we're going to talk about projectors. So welcome, Bronwyn. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello. Well, I am a 1-3 splenic projector, and I have the right angle cross of the unexpected.
Yeah, I love that. The right angle cross of the unexpected. And you had so many just awarenesses and breakthroughs around that in the mastermind, didn't you?
Yes, a ton. It's awesome.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So listeners, today, the reason specifically that I have Bronwyn here with us for this podcast is that, as I said, she was always a self-professed projector. And one of the things that I noticed once Bronwyn had mentioned it, I was like, wow, yes, there really are projectors that are even more projectory than others. So to really help and serve you guys out there, we have one of them here with us today. So let's start at the beginning. When we're talking about a projector is our new type of leader. They're transitioning us from a world of follow me, I'll go first, action taking, that old, almost patriarchal expression of a leader. And what is happening with the projector is that they are starting to lead the way in two specific ways. And I really had this amazing awareness on the type panel in my membership just the other week, when it was that this awareness that not only are projectors here to lead from a place of sharing wisdom, so really helping people to be able to maximize their potential, and we'll talk about how they do that in a minute, but it's also that they embody a lot of the changes that we really need to take on as in the human race. Things like doing less and receiving more, things like surrendering and really letting go of mental control. And when we can see these things embodied in a projector, they're also leading us that way. It's almost like when an MG shows us what is physically possible for a human being with all of the things it can do and all of the easy ways it can find, the projector is kind of like, we can all be still, we can all still receive from this place, and we can learn to surrender to really enhance our life. So that is a really important part of what the projector is here to do. Do you want to talk to any of that to start off with? I know there's I've just really done a lot of high stuff because we're going to dive deep, but is there anything you want to share on that, Bronwyn?
Yeah, I think that's just huge. Like the letting go. I think we're in such a society now that, especially here in America, that you're always looking to achieve, to advance yourself, to move, to hustle, to do, which is something that I've been guilty of my entire life. You know, before finding Human Design, I'm a teacher and I would work 2, 3, 4 jobs sometimes. I don't know how I did it looking back, but that was just what I felt like I had to do to make the money, to prove that I was, worthy of whatever it was I was seeking. So I think that's probably a big lesson that a lot of projectors I would expect have to learn, is how to sit back, let go, relax. And of course, for me, that happened right before I even discovered Human Design, with the whole COVID quarantine, such a shitty situation, but such a great lesson that was learned for me to, stop, be present, and rest.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I feel like COVID has given all of us on the planet that opportunity. Like we've had the opportunity to either freak out and make life even worse and cling to the old, or we've come to that realization that, okay, we totally really do have no control. So what can we do instead? And we can really surrender instead. And obviously we all swing from one to the other. I mean, it's a crazy time. Now let's talk about, I want to start right at the beginning with projectors. And when we talk about projectors, they are definitely here to master something. They're here to be really good at something. They're here to be seen and recognized. And this is one of the things that can be the most challenging, is because projectors see the potential of energy. Okay. So they see the potential in others. They see how others use their energy, if they're using it resourcefully, if they're using it unresourcefully. They can see how they can use it even better. They can see the things that can be switched and changed. But unfortunately, they are designed in a way, and I don't think unfortunately is the right word, but they are designed in a way that they have to be seen and acknowledged for that first. So they have to receive an invitation for them to share their wisdom. And I do think that this is one of the things that is the most challenging thing that I hear from working with a lot of projectors, that when they first come to human design, it's like this invitation piece is a challenge. Do you want to talk to that a little bit, Bronwyn?
Yes, I've seen that a lot too. And especially when I first got into this and before I really did like your mastermind and kind of did a deep dive on myself, I found so many groups of projectors that had this sort of negative outlook on that waiting for the invitation, which I was kind of surprised about, because the more learning I did, and even initially, I never felt like I was just sitting here twiddling my thumbs. I felt like I had, especially finding human design and intuitive work, I had found something that I was now truly passionate about. And while I was doing the work on myself and doing the work, learning the ins and outs of those things, then I found invitations just started to come. So I didn't feel like I was waiting. Like you just have to have this, this optimistic, hopeful outlook that if you start to do the work and just enjoy yourself, people can see your joy. Just share your experience, your love for whatever it is that you're passionate about. And those invitations just come. And then you're able to do those things like guide others. And this was kind of lost on me for so many years of my life as a teacher. I have constantly had my colleagues coming to me and asking for help on something, or, you know, for advice about a certain situation, especially those like big picture things. And I always felt very confident giving them that advice. But I never really gave myself any credit for the fact that I was doing something I loved. They could see that. And I guess they could see or feel my energy and know that they could come to me and ask for support. And there's that piece for the projectors, you know, guiding people and helping them see their potential.
Yeah. And I think this is so, so profound. So one of the things that I always teach with a projector is you have to see yourself first. You have to recognize yourself first. And, you know, as Bronwyn's sharing, exactly what you did, Bronwyn, was that you invested in yourself first. You've invested time, you invested money, you invested headspace in yourself. And as you went down that rabbit hole and started to really enjoy it, exactly what you said with your other work colleagues in teaching, that we can all read when your energy is ready. You know, we can all read when we're, you know, super ready to go to you and to see that the potential that you have to guide. And I think that with the invitation for all the projectors out there, this is the piece, that if you're not getting invitations, it's because the universe is literally holding space for you to recognize yourself, to see yourself, to heal what needs healing, to rest. I mean, this is a massive theme for the projector, that if you're not getting invitations, then you probably need to rest. You probably need to recover and get that energy back, because the universe can't bring you what you want if you can't handle it. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you are here to live in joy. You are here to live in, receivership. And if you don't have the space to do that because you're exhausted, then it's really important that you take the time. And it's so counterintuitive. I totally get it. However, every projector I've worked with, without exception, when they rest, when they recover, when they give themselves time and they invest in themselves and seeing and acknowledging themselves through self-worth, self-love, following what they love to do, resting when they need to rest, then the invitations just flow to them. Does that resonate with you, Bronwyn?
Yes. And I would definitely say there's been times when I have tried to initiate things. I think like a lot of people probably have. For a while there, I was trying to become an administrator, like an assistant principal or a principal at a school. And I was pushing and pushing and pushing. And yes, I was moving and getting places, but I had such, I eventually got to such a toxic environment and such a toxic place. My health, I got mono, like my health was a hot mess. I was just so miserable and so unhappy in the environment I was in, was so toxic that that's not where I needed to be. And it wasn't until I realized I was a projector in the waiting for the invitation and started to do some journaling that I realized, okay, these are times when I was initiating and I hit a wall and it was not a good time in my life. And these are times when I did wait for an invitation and things went well for me. And so now that I see that, I just wait for the invitation and I know that things are going to fall into place. And I'm in such, I mean, you know, this school year, especially, granted, I'm only a couple weeks in, but I'm in such a different place than I have been for the last decade, probably.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And it's such an important point, you know, like that initiating piece, because it really is that understanding. You have to build a muscle that's not there. You know, we live in a world that you guys are complete. We're all told, take massive action, go out there, initiate. And it's so counterintuitive. I mean, it's counterintuitive for most of the population, because really, unless you're a splenic manifestor, you don't need to wait. But everyone else in some way needs to wait. So ultimately, this is so important, being able to reverse engineer, look back, see where you've initiated before and how that's fallen flat or you've exhausted yourself, and then start to be really honest with yourself and true that you're just going to wait for those invitations. And when you're in alignment, the invitations, like Bronwyn said, they don't necessarily take forever. You're not sitting there twiddling your thumbs all the time. And if you do feel that way, it's time to rest. It's time to recover. So we have two types of projector. We have an energy projector, and an energy projector is going to have a defined root center, a defined solar plexus, and or a defined will center. Bronwyn, do you have any of those?
Yes, I have a defined root.
Okay, brilliant. Now, from my experience working with a lot of projectors now, this configuration that you have, it can be a little bit The word that's coming up is unresourceful, but that's not the word I mean. It can be a little bit tricky, because for projectors, you're meant to not take action. And when you have a defined root center, so if you have any of the motors, but especially the defined root center, there's a real push-pull in your energy. You're like, yep, I want to sit back and wait for this invitation. But there's this part of you that's like, go now, go now, go now, do things, be productive, move. So there is, if you have a defined root center or any of the other three, but specifically the root, there is a dance that you need to do. You need to get to know your energy. You need to get to know when enough is enough, because you don't have that inherent guide inside of you, being the sacral, that tells you when enough is enough. So Bronwyn, do you want to talk a little bit to this, and maybe how have you noticed that you've needed to learn to balance that energy that's about being productive and the projector energy of really surrendering and doing a bit less?
Yes, big time. Because all my life, I think I've been sort of feeding off of other people's energy, as well as just having that root push me, which is why I was able to make it through 12, 13, 14 hour work days. But in those times, I was sick a lot. I was, you know, unhappy a lot of those times. I dealt with depression and anxiety, and I would just get addicted to the stress and just felt like I had to be doing and doing and doing. So again, once, you know, COVID hit and I was stuck at home and I was limited to, I couldn't go anywhere, or I had X, Y, Z I could do, and that was about it. I just had to learn how to be present in the moment and enjoy just time sitting there or time with my family, which my family has a lot of energy too, but I just had to learn how to be present. And that's still something that I've been working on. And like, it got to the point where, I was working in a gen ed classroom. So teaching like first grade, second grade. And it was just really depleting my energy. And I was still kind of moving off of that root energy, but now I've switched back to teaching music and I have, you know, 2.5 hours of classes. Then I have like a big planning in the middle of the day, then 2.5 hours of classes. And I've just found that balance is just so much better for me. I get that minute of rest I need, those kind of energetic boundaries that I need. But it's definitely, I think that's probably one of the hardest things that I've had to learn is how to rest. And then asking for that rest and knowing that I'm not like, I'm so conditioned to feel like I'm lazy if I'm resting. And that's just, it's just not the case. It's how I'm made to be. And luckily, you know, I have a very supportive husband who allows me like, hey, I really need a nap. He's like, okay, I'll take the boys. You go chill for a minute. Or, you know, I need like a night on my own or two nights on my own. I called it a projector vacation that I took in June just to get time in my own energy, slow down, rest, and just be. But I think that's so important for projectors. Just learn how to chill. It's okay. You aren't lazy. Just, it's okay to just be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so profound. And what I would love to ask you about, actually, just before I get there, I want to ask you about, I'm going to talk to you about the like energetic boundaries and family and classrooms and that sort of thing. But before we go there, I just want to talk to, for those of you out there that have the defined solar plexus and will center. So as Bronwyn talks about how she had that addiction to, or perceived addiction to progress, adrenaline, those sort of things, you're going to potentially find that with the solar plexus and with the will center as well. Okay. So what I see in a lot of projectors that have a defined will center is that they just get addicted to being able to push through, being able to really like put their head down and just force. And remember, like all of these centers, so the root center, the solar plexus, the will center, that although if they're switched on, if they're defined, colored in, that does mean they've got consistent and reliable energy. However, all three of those do not have a consistent wave of energy, so or pulse of energy or bank of energy. The root center is this pulse. So when it's time to go, go. But when it's off, you must wait. With the emotional solar plexus, we know you've got the emotional wave in there. And then with the will center, we're actually talking about that bank of willpower, okay? So once the bank is depleted, if you're not putting energy and rest back in the bank, then you'll be out. And this is where a lot of projectors really experience their burnout. It's almost like the experience that I've had. And for those of you out there that are non-energy projectors, meaning that you're going to have none of those three motors defined, I find that the non-energy projectors, it's almost like their dance with doing less isn't as challenging. It's definitely a mental thing, whereas there is this other part of the energy projector that's like, but it feels like I have this energy. You know, I have another amazing projector in my life and I worked with her for a very long time. It was finding that balance between, well, I need to move my physical body or something because there's this root center energy that needs to be used up. Now, what I want to say is that this is the experiment that energy projectors have to run and non-energy projectors have to run. You have to get to know your own energy and where there is a point where the energy that's happening below the neck says stop. And then often the mind will be in some way addicted to that energy. And it's like, oh, well, I'll just keep going or I just want more or whatever that is. So start to pay attention to that in you. This happens in all types. But obviously what's going to happen with projectors is that you guys, I see more of the energy projectors burn out because they're addicted to the energy that they do have than the non-energy projectors, because the non-energy projectors kind of just go, yeah, I'm out. Like I've got nothing more. Like I'm moving on. So, and when they're given this permission slip to do less, they're like, oh God, I knew that. I just knew it. Whereas there is this dance with the energy projector to be very conscious, to experiment with their energy when it's on, when it's off, when it says stop, and really listening to that, because otherwise it will take you to a place of burnout. And that's true for any projector. If you keep forcing, if you keep pushing, and if you keep using energy that is not your own, because that's what a lot of the projectors are doing, it's fine to borrow, but you have to remember that once you're out of someone's aura, it's no longer yours to use, that is a time to, that you're sitting in that place where you're either moving closer to burnout or closer to alignment. Does that resonate with you, Bronwyn? Do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, man, there's just been so many times that I've just been so burnt out. Yeah. I think that's just the biggest thing. Like you said, it's an experiment. You have to see based on what you have defined, what you have undefined, what works for you. But just know that, like, once you find that rest and are living more aligned, it's such a game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So let's talk about, given that, projectors have what makes a projector for all of you out there is you're going to have an open sacral and no connection to the throat. So you don't have a channel that goes from a motor to the throat. Okay. And that's what makes you a projector. So I have come across a projector that literally has every other center defined except for the sacral, but no motor connected to the throat. And that person, it was really fascinating because they actually had a lot more resonance with almost the generator types. There was, because they had so much more energy, and they didn't have that same feeling of depletion that a lot of projectors get. So this is why I'm such a massive advocate for, you know, start at type and strategy and authority, but make sure you go deeper into your chart so you can understand what's true for you. Now, given that projectors are here to work less hours, and we do mean work. So let's say with Bronwyn, you're learning human design. If Bronwyn sits in a room and just studies human design for 8 hours because she loves it, that's not work, okay? So that's not you drawing down on your important energy. That's you being curious and fascinated. Yes, you're going to need breaks. Yes, that might be too much for sure. But at the end of the day, work is something that means, okay, I am consciously engaged in doing this thing that isn't pure joy all the time. Okay. And it doesn't mean that it has to be work that you're forcing yourself to do or that you, or that you shouldn't force yourself to do it. But when we go to do work, there are going to be things that we have to do that really are going to draw more energy from the projector. I hope that makes sense. I think that was a little bit muddy, but anyway, so they're beings that need to be working, you know, 3 hours a day, lots of rest, and they are constantly taking on and reading other people's energies. So I would love to talk to you a little bit, Bronwyn, about energetic boundaries. You know, one of the things that I teach a lot, as you'll know, is the body scan, like really starting to understand what is your energy and what is someone else's. So you might start your day with a body scan in your own aura. Then as you move through the day, just every time you feel a big emotion or whatever the energy is, body scan. Oh, wow, that wasn't there before. It's not mine. It's probably someone else's or is someone else's. So really creating energetic boundaries. This is a thing that I think that's really important to understand because there's a lot of people out there teaching, you know, like you have to defend and protect your energy. And the truth is that as a projector, your open centers are your magic, like your freaking magic. So if you shut them down to the rest of the world, then you're actually shutting down your wisdom, your power, your compassion, your magical way that you can see energy. So really learning to be able to move through other people's energy, because the time or where the energy gets exhausting for a projector is when they identify with other people's energy. It's not theirs. So they, if they identify with it, it's, I feel this way. I am feeling this. This person is making me. So it's the language. It's the story. You're telling yourself that this energy in you is yours to be done with, something to be done with it. And ultimately, this is the piece that is going to really set a projector free. When they learn their energetic boundaries are more about letting energy move through them and not identifying with it, and then giving them their time later on to completely let go of it. Instead of really defending, because as soon as you start to defend your boundaries and you get worried about how other people are going to affect your energy, you're actually disconnecting yourself from your own wisdom. Does that resonate with you? And would you love to share your experience of that, please, Bronwyn?
Yes. Oh my goodness. This has been a huge thing. And it's so funny because I've had different like intuitive readings lately and the energetic boundaries piece like keeps coming up. So it's like, I'm meant to talk about this right now, I guess. For me, I have a completely open head, ajna, and will center, and then I have the undefined solar plexus. So I have a lot of things coming in through me and a lot of places where I have a ton of compassion, I think, and a lot of empathy for others, which in some cases is a blessing, in some cases is a curse if you don't have those energetic boundaries. So for me, like being a teacher, especially the last 3 or 4 years on a team, there's always been people that for some reason on my team that I've just tapped into. And if like whatever they're feeling that day, I have felt the same thing. And I'm like, man, why is my day all of a sudden, you know, I'm sad or I'm grumpy or whatever. And it didn't dawn on me until I discovered human design. Oh, that's why I'm just tapped into these people for whatever reason. And I am absorbing their feelings and I am thinking that they're mine. So like you were saying, I learned how to do the body scan. So about March-ish of this year, so the end of this last school year, I started doing the body scan and checking in with myself. And I was like, you know what? No, I came in, I was happy. I was feeling good today. Like whatever this pang of irritation is or whatever, that's not mine. I'm just going to let it go. And I gave myself a second to let it go. It would go. And then I'd be back to feeling, you know, the way I was before. So just training yourself, getting really comfortable with that body scan and making it a priority to check in multiple times a day until you build that muscle and you just kind of know what's yours and what's not yours is huge. Because being a teacher, you know, I'm around kids all day. I mean, that love them, but like their energy would drain my energy. The second they'd be gone, I would feel like I was hit by a truck. I'd be, you know, then I come home to my kids, same thing. You know, I have a man, gen son and a generator son. And the second they go to bed, I'm like, whoa, what just happened? But ever since building those boundaries, it's been totally different. I feel like I can function as myself, you know, a little bit more. And there's been moments too at home where my husband and my older son have the emotional wave and I can feel like, whoa, like something's going on with them. They're in their low or whatever. That's not mine. So I'm going to take my other kid who, you know, has an undefined solar plexus. And we're just going to go upstairs for a little bit and just let things settle. And just being aware of, you know, things like that. It's huge. If people can work on those energetic boundaries, I think that is a big game changer for projectors.
Yeah. Thank you. So talking about energetic boundaries, like one of the things that I think is really important about creating those boundaries is really the attachment, like I said, like the words that we give it, the stories that we create, because it's the stories that we create about these other people's energy that really influence us. The other things that's going to support us with energetic boundaries are things like if someone's not your person, and you continue to hang around that person, then it's on you. You need to be conscious to say, okay, these are not my people. Whenever I'm around this person, I feel this way. And you've got to choose instead of pulling away or closing yourself down, it's like, okay, I don't need to, I'm not to be around that person. That person is just not my jam. Now, what if you're around someone and you work with someone who just, you know, like they are not good for you, but you work with them. So ultimately, this is going to be a lesson and each individual is going to have a lesson in there. Number one, whatever really triggers you, I would highly recommend that you go and do the work on you, because the honest truth is that probably what triggers you about them is something that needs to be healed inside of you, okay? Because what I want people to understand is that as a projector, you do not need to walk around with this like metal protection around you. You just don't, because your real gift is letting that all hang out. But the thing that's super important is that you do the things that keep it clear. You know, we talk about sleeping in your own bed. If you can't sleep in your own bed, if there's a time overlap, I know with my husband and I go to bed early. I get up early. He goes to bed late. He gets up later. So there is time that the projector can be lying down, because it really is actually about physically lying down, because then the sacral starts to decondition, really let go of energy. And the other things that you can be doing, depending on how spiritual you are, like I actually now these days, I'm not a projector, but I use a lot of different aura sprays. I use a lot of different oils and all sorts of things just to keep all the energy around me super clean and clear, so that if I'm picking up stuff along the way, that's kind of being eradicated. Meditation is really important, because that teaches you to let go of the thoughts, especially like Bronwyn has a completely open head in Ajna. I've got an undefined head in Ajna. I pick up people's stuff all the time. So meditation is really important. This is another way that we can keep our energy clear. Bronwyn, how do you, what are the practices that you use to really take care of your energy?
So some of the ones you hit on, so sleep, I've played around with that. My husband and I have the exact same job, so it's hard for us to stagger our times, but we do. At one point I was like, you know what, we should get an extra bed to put in the playroom. And that way, if one of us ever needs to go, cause he's a manifester, so he may, you know, need some time on his own too. Like if any of us is having trouble sleeping, one of us just goes in there, sleeps in their own energy, and we're good. So we have done that and played with that. A lot of times going to bed, both of us, we go to bed sometimes 30 minutes, an hour before we actually are ready to go to bed. And we'll sit there, like I'll read, he'll play on his iPad. That's been huge. And we've actually been doing that for a while before we even discovered human design, but that is extremely helpful. Meditation has been really helpful lately. That's a newer thing that I've gotten into. But one of the big things, is the doing the forgiveness work, like, I think it was in the mastermind or maybe it was in the membership, but you talked about identifying somebody who really, or maybe it was both actually, somebody who really triggers you, and then break down why do they trigger you. And probably those things are within yourself. And one thing that kind of, I think, led me towards human design is I've had, not something I've talked about a whole lot, but I have with you, about my relationship with my sister. We've been estranged for about a year and a half. And coming to human design, I've discovered her design and some things about her design that make me understand how she operates more as a person. So I was able to let go of a lot of bitterness, which obviously is that not self theme for projectors, that I had around that. And then you also introduced me to the Ho'oponopono. So doing the forgiveness, you know, anytime I feel something come up within myself, you know, saying, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, and letting it go. And, you know, we had within a week and a half of me doing that, you know, my sister and I had some contact. Granted, it was all kind of virtual and we're still moving forwards, but I could already see big things happening, and I can see myself not being triggered or upset by things. I'm just more understanding of where we're both at and how we both operate. And I think that's huge. So looking into that, Zero Limits is it Joe Vitale? I think.
Yep.
I highly recommend that book for anybody, especially if you're feeling that bitterness, because obviously that means that's your little warning sign that you're, you know, not aligned. And so to get back towards feeling more at peace and more content, that has been really helpful for me with, you know, some of the bigger things I was dealing with.
I absolutely love that. I'm so glad you brought it up. And I mean, everyone on the podcast would have heard me bang on about forgiveness. And it is really powerful, because the way that it works is that what we're doing is we're letting go of the energy that has attached itself to us, that either we've identified with it, or there's stories that are part of our conditioning and our programming, and it's just attached to us. And what the forgiveness does is that it helps to release that tight attachment that this energy has to us. At the end of the day, energy is going to attach to us. Whenever we have a heightened emotional response to anything, we are creating something that is literally like a little filing cabinet or a filing tag that says, oh, we better remember that. So it sits in our energy. And really with forgiveness, what that gives us is the opportunity to let go of the things that no longer serve us, because our mind doesn't actually know what's right and what, you know, what's correct for us, what's sustainable, what's resourceful and what isn't. So it kind of likes to hold on to everything just in case. Brilliant. I love that. So let's talk about the next thing we're going to talk about, given that you just mentioned it. We're going to talk about what I call those indicators of bitterness and success. And bitterness is something that, you know, being married to a projector, I really, as far as I can see it in him and all the people I've worked with, like bitterness is something that shows up when a projector is out of alignment and they feel unseen. They feel like, you know, that their value is not seen, they are not seen. And what it does is it triggers this bitterness feeling within them. Now, what I want you to understand is that, just like Bronwyn said as well, is that bitterness is part of who you are as a projector. So A, don't judge yourself for it. B, this is an indicator. It's an indicator that you've just got off the path, and it's literally just a clue to help you get back on the path. And you can use things like forgiveness, but you can also be like, cool, okay, it's turning up. What is it specifically that I'm bitter about? Then you're going to have a story, and it could be, oh, wow, I'm forcing myself, or I'm pushing myself, or I'm putting expectations on myself to be a certain way, or I'm projecting my stuff onto someone else where I need to rest or I need to whatever. So I want you to understand that bitterness, like all of our not self themes, it's just an indicator to tell us we're out of alignment. And it's an opportunity to get curious so that you can get back into alignment and in many cases heal things. How does bitterness turn up for you, Bronwyn?
I mean, I think you kind of nailed it. And I don't even know that I've ever thought about it exactly like that too. Like obviously when you're out of alignment, but when you're not feeling seen, I think that's perfect. That's spot on. So, I mean, and for me with my conditioning in my open Wilson center, I've had a lot of where I felt like I needed to really prove myself. And so continuing to try to push and push to prove myself to be seen, but I'm not being seen. And then you feel that bitterness. I think you finally have to kind of train yourself to let that go. So like one example, I mentioned this on the Mastermind podcast that we recorded, you know, I had signed up to do grad school again. This would be the third time I'm doing grad school. So my fourth time in college. And originally I felt good about the decision. This was before I discovered human design, but as I got closer and closer to the start date, I was like, oh, something doesn't feel right. Something doesn't feel right. And had like my, you know, spleen telling me those little hints like, man, this may not be good. This may not be good. And when I finally sat and realized why I was doing it, I felt like I was doing it out of an old, unresourceful place. I was trying to prove something to whomever I was trying to prove it to, you know, whether it's my family or just, you know, my colleagues that, you know, I can do X, Y, Z, and I can be a mom and I can do all the things. And I think I also was coming from a place of conditioning where I felt like once I said I was going to do it, I had to follow through with it. And once I kind of came to the place, like, you know what, I don't have to do this. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel good. This is out of alignment. I'd be doing more work and I'm supposed to be doing less than I am. I was like, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm just not going to do it. So I just didn't. And I have to say it was an amazing decision because I have that downtime. I don't feel like I have to prove anything to anybody. I think that was a big step for me with, you know, with that piece, just letting go of conditioning and getting rid of that bitterness and the expectation. Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, like I think what I see with a lot of projectors is that it's because they see the potential of energy, they can really be like, well, the things that we could do here. And it's like, once they perceive they're committed to something, they're like, oh God, now I have to finish. And it's not the job, you know, it's not the job of the projector to, inverted commas, finish everything. That's just not what you guys are here for. And if we think about the process of the types, like the the manifestor is on the planet to inspire action, you know, yes, to initiate, yes, to be in contact with source, all of those things. But it's all about inspiring action in new ways, you know, sending the generator types down that rabbit hole of, right, well, this idea has been spawned, or this movement has been happened, or this idea for a new way of thinking these things have been sparked. And then the generator types, they blow it up. The projector is here to help as these generator types are literally manifesting these things in a big way into reality. The projectors are here to say, oh, a little bit more of that, a little bit less of that. Like, they're not here to be doing all of the doing. And bitterness is the opportunity to say, oh, right, I'm out of alignment because either I'm doing too much or my wisdom isn't being seen, which means I'm not valuing my own wisdom. And being able to do that, that is where projectors are going to be really leading by example, that letting go of all of that mental, I should this, I should that, this is what I should, you know, this is who I should be as a leader. And in fact, letting go, really surrendering to all of that old conditioning, that old way of being, and allowing themselves just to wait for those invitations, which is actually demonstrating to the rest of the planet, oh my God, you mean we all don't need to hustle? And even the generator types are like, wow, look at your life, look how it unfolds. Maybe I don't need to hustle, and no one needs to hustle. So it's a really important piece for a projector, not only for themselves, but also as a leader. They're showing us all that, you know, hustle isn't mandatory for success. So on that note, let's talk about success. So success, when we talk about success through the signature of a projector, we're really talking about success through the frame of energy. Okay. So what does that mean? It means that the energetic potential has been fulfilled. All right. So what is really going to make a projector type super excited and super happy, and this feeling of success, is when they see the potential of energy fulfilled. Because often, what bitterness, the other thing bitterness triggers or is triggered by, is when they see the potential of energy and it's not fulfilled and it like falls flat in a heap and they're like, oh my goodness, this could have been so much better. So success is really about that fulfillment of the potential of the energy that a projector can see. Now, this also, it has to come from a place of non-attachment. Like, the job is here to guide. It's not to hold expectations of how that potential should be completely fulfilled, or, you know, if it doesn't get to the exact same outcome or any of those things. And this is the dance that the projector needs to do, is like, success comes when the energy is fulfilled in whatever way it is fulfilled. Does that make sense to you, Bronwyn? And I know that you know a bit about this already. Do you want to talk a little bit to how you really experience success?
Yeah. So I think it's kind of twofold. I think one of it is sort of that external validation, and it doesn't have to be like somebody like kissing your ass all the time, you know, just somebody saying thank you for something that you did, I think can be a huge acknowledgement and just making someone feel seen. I think it's also important for projectors to learn how to like feel that self-worth and almost validate yourself as well. But I think it's also just in peace and happiness when you found something that you're meant to be doing and that you do well. So I think that like that, just that expansive feeling like, oh, I'm good at this. I can do this. I do this well. I feel that success. So it doesn't necessarily have to be that external validation, but also just that feeling. And I think everybody probably feels it a little bit differently, but I know that especially as I get older, I'm able to recognize when I've done a good job and, you know, give myself credit for that. But I do think that, you know, external validation, the people, you know, telling you things, which like, you know, my husband is great about doing, if we get to parenting with that piece, that's a different kind of story for me. But, you know, yeah, just if you know a projector, try to say, you know, good job, proud of you, all of those things. But as a projector, also know how to take credit where credit is due, I guess.
Yeah, I think these are two really important points. One of the things I talk a lot about being married to a projector, and I experimented because I can't remember where I read it, but I read that, you know, the way to a projector's heart is to recognize them for specific things. So I will literally, if Justin does anything from, you know, the example I used on the panel this week was we were driving along the other day and I'm working on my computer. Obviously, he's driving. We've got this massive caravan behind us. He goes to overtake. I hear him go, ooh, just make some sort of noise. And I look up and I'm like, oh, my God, there's a car coming in the other direction. And I'm like, ah, you know. And, of course, he just pulled in. He's calm. Everything's fine. It's no big deal. And it was just afterwards it occurred to me, because sometimes being a manifesting generator, like I literally want to take the steering wheel all the time. You know, I want to be driving. And it made me think, and that's metaphorically driving, like not just the car, everything. And it made me really, you know, sit back and think, because, you know, he's really cool with it. You know, he's super cool with it. So I remember on that day, I was just like, I just want to say a huge thank you, because I know that I can be a terrible backseat driver and tell you what to do. And I love that you just let it flow off you. You don't take it personally. And because the moment it comes out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, I didn't want to do that. And I'm really grateful that you, that, because it really helps our relationship, because it never becomes an issue. And I do those little things for him all the time. Also the big things, like whenever he does amazing things all the time that I'm grateful for. But we often thank our partners and projectors for the big things, but we forget about the little things. And this is a thing that I think is going to be so powerful. If you have a projector in your life, say thank you or acknowledge them for things specifically, not just like thank you for being you. Thank you because you're considerate of me in this way. Thank you because you are so good at that thing and we would be lost without you. Like, be very specific about giving projectors acknowledgements, because I think the other thing is they're not idiots. So don't just assume that if you're just going, oh, I just need to say thank you for this, like there will be a part of a projector and they're going, are you just saying that? What specifically are you grateful for? So being really conscious that if you have a projector and you love a projector, make sure that you see them and you see them with real honesty, with real clarity and specificity. Does that resonate with you, Bronwyn?
Yeah, definitely. And do you mind if I talk about like being a kid projector? Is that okay?
We're going to go there. Okay. So why don't we go there now?
Okay. Because this just resonates big time. But I think it's hard, especially like if you have a child that's a projector, I think that validation is such a big thing to help them learn how to find their own self-worth, because like my parents are awesome at so many things, but I think like for them, I'd have to say their love languages are like acts of service and then gift giving, and that words of affirmation and communication in my family is just not a good thing. It's something that I've had to deal with and learn how to do as I got older. And then especially once I met my husband, he comes from a family that's all about like, I love you all the time. I'm going to hug you. Words of affirmation. I'm so proud of you all the time. And so for, you know, we've had to communicate a lot of times where I have trouble receiving those things from him because I'm not used to it. And like my family doesn't say that we love each other all the time. It's kind of sad, but it is what it is. My parents are awesome, but you know, I had told my husband, like, I don't remember a time where they told me they're proud of me, which as a projector, you know, going back and reflecting on that, I'm like, that's a big deal. And that explains a lot of the conditioning and the shadow work that I've had to do throughout this process. So really learning about how I don't necessarily need that, or if it does come to me, like through my husband or like his mom or someone like that, learning how to receive those things and accept it. And, but I do think it is important to, you know, validate your kids for the things that they do well, let them know that they're seen. But then also I think once you have that foundation, then maybe they can start to see their own self-worth a little bit, because I think that self-esteem piece and that self-worth piece has been a big problem with me and my depression and anxiety for you know, since I was 14 and I'm 36 now. So I think that's a big important thing for parents out there.
Yeah. And I was going to ask exactly that. Like, what, there are a few things that as for projected children, what do we want to really understand as a parent? Well, number one, we want to be asking them open-ended questions because projectors make sense when they speak things out. You know, when we're going to get to what advice you would give to a coach as well, who's coaching a projector, but for kids, you want to make sure that A, you're asking them open-ended questions. B, every time they put their bloody hand up or they speak to you, look at them. Use your eyes and look at them. You know, this is a big piece. And this was a huge conversation in the membership on the panel, like that physical ability to look at a projector. Look at them, look them in the eye, hold space with them. So if you have a projector child, make sure you're doing that. And acknowledging them again for the things that that are really important to them. Is there anything else you want to add on that? And then we're going to talk about the family dynamics.
I don't think so.
I love it.
I think that was it.
I love it. So tell me, being a projector in a family with a manifestor, a generator, and a manifesting generator, how do you manage your own energy? I mean, I think the big thing straight away for any projector mothers is that, like, when you had your babies, like, that would have been exhausting. I mean, it was exhausting for me. I'm a freaking manifesting generator. So do you want to talk a bit about how you manage your, or you're learning to manage your energy within the family? And what are the things that you've specifically changed? Like, what do you tell yourself differently now that you know that you're a projector than maybe you did when you had little babies and you maybe thought that you had to do more, be more?
Yes. And I still find myself doing that. So it's a work in progress always. It is just fascinating having four out of the five types in one family. It can be very exhausting, but it's also made me realize a lot of things just about their types and what I want to do as like a mom and a wife to acknowledge their types. But I think like one thing I do, or we do, my husband and I specifically, is allow downtime for each other. Whatever that looks like. So some nights, like him as a manifestor and like me as a projector, we don't always have to be together doing things. Just because we're like, hey, he's going to go, you know, outside and read a book and I'm going to watch whatever TV show, you know, and we're hanging out by ourselves. It isn't a reflection of our relationship. We just know that we both need that downtime and time in our own energies to be better people for each other and for our kids. So I think that's a big thing. Like I said, naps, he lets me nap when I need to. That's my love language right there.
So yeah. Yeah. Amazing. I feel like Justin's the same. Loves a good nap.
Yes. Even today, my son was talking about our superpowers and he's like, Dad, your superpower is cooking and Mom, yours is napping. And I was like, yep.
I'll take it. I love it.
But I think like, even the vacations to get way out of there. Cause even if you have your alone time at home, you're not totally, you know, there might be a kid knocking on the bathroom door or whatever, you know, when you're trying to take a shower or whatever. So getting that vacation time totally away. I don't know, just being supportive of each other's types has been huge. So like he and I, like even me for him, we inform each other of what we're doing. We're never really asking for permission. We're just asking like, is there anything on the calendar? And we just inform each other. And yeah, that alone, just having that alone time and knowing that that's, and I think that's the big thing for moms too, I would have to say, is you feel that mom guilt, like you have to, especially from previous generations, or like, you gotta spend every waking second with your kids or something's wrong. Like, no, I'm going to be a better human if I get some time to myself. And then I can put more into them. I'm not getting as frustrated or as like burnt out, you know, if I can get a minute to myself. And that's okay to do that. It's not being lazy. It's not being a bad parent. Like, do what you need to do to protect your energy, build it up so that you can enjoy that time with your family, whatever types they are.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I think that's the thing, you know, like we just have this preconceived idea that we have to be on and with them all the time. And ultimately, like you have a little generator, a manifesting generator. So they're, you know, the MG especially, super independent. they just want to find what they love to do, and they'll be quite happy doing it and spending all that time. They don't necessarily need anyone guiding them, and they'll come to you when they're ready for the guidance. So when we understand the human design and within the relationships, I think this is a massive game changer, because we can start to let go, stop white knuckling it, like I should this and I should that. And like you've said a lot, Bronwyn, like honor each person in our family from a design point of view, and all of a sudden it does create the space that we need. I mean, we all need space no matter what our type is. I'm an MG and I need loads of space, because I actually only have four defined centers. And this is why I keep saying, like, we need to know below type, because there's the truth sits much deeper than type. But yeah, I love that. Thank you. Okay. So I think we have covered most things. I'm just checking. So really, what I would love to ask you is, for those out there that are working with projectors or coaching projectors or doing readings for projectors, what would you like them to know? What's your advice for the coaches or the readers out there?
I mean, there's several things. So the first thing I would say is just make sure that they're paying attention and experimenting and kind of journaling about their strategy and their authority. Those have been, like, authority especially has just been the biggest game changer for me, listening to my spleen, understanding like how it shows up for me, and then making decisions based on that instead of based on my head. You know, my anxiety is pretty much gone because I finally stopped getting in my head about everything. I just have that intuitive hit from my spleen and I'm good to go, and it's turned out well. So making sure that they're doing that, waiting for that invitation, and not, you know, initiating things, and document, you know, the good times and the bad times where they've waited or they haven't waited. And, you know, giving examples of that, I'd say, I mean, you should do this with everybody, but highlighting their strengths so they really do feel validated, that big sense of validation. You talked about this, letting them talk through things. So, you know, if you have a, like, one thing I've done, I guess, as a projector is, like, I've set up kind of my human design reading business into like these smaller chunks. So in an unpack, you're not getting through absolutely everything. We're able to have more discussions, because I know I feel better about helping people when I'm able to discuss more. So we might do like type, strategy, authority in 1 hour and discuss it and talk about integrating it, then do, you know, gates, planets, circuits in the next hour, and go from there, more of like a coaching cycle. So I think projectors in general, I definitely am guilty of this, you know, just need to talk through things so that they can really start to integrate it. I think teaching the strategies for the energetic boundaries, like the body scan, is a big one. And just making sure they understand that conditioning that they might have, that, you know, being lazy is bad. Well, no, you're not lazy. You just need your rest. You need your energy, and that's good.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And I would add, you know, like, one of the things, and this is really interesting in the membership, the one of the big things I would say, like, yes, the open-ended questions, very important for clients, because the wisdom, the thing about projectors is they see all this potential in others, but they can't access their own. They don't, it's not like they can see it in themselves. So what happens as a coach of a projector is that a lot of the time you're holding space. You're just holding space. You know, I use a lot of questions with my projectors beforehand. So they've already talked it through or worked it through or written it out in journals. And then it's a lot about holding space so they can talk it through. The other thing I would say is, like, don't tell a projector what to do, because that is one thing that I've seen does not go well. If you say you should do this and you should do that, that's not going to go well. All right. So it's also holding space for, you know, the ultimate thing that I think the ultimate tool for coaching a projector, in my opinion, is curiosity. If you're curious and you keep asking questions and they keep talking it out, you're going to get where you need to go. But it's really that piece that don't just jump in and think that you're going to be all clever and answer their question or solve their problem, because it's in them. It's all in all of us, but with projectors especially, you want to hold space for them to discover it themselves. So that would be the other thing I would add. Any, yeah, do you have any feelings on that?
Oh, definitely. The curiosity piece, especially like, I mean, me being a 1-3, like, yeah, don't tell me what to do. I need to go experience it for myself. And then the curiosity, like, I love to just be curious and talk things through and figure things out and have these aha moments. So definitely, that's perfect.
I love it. Awesome. So is there anything else? I think that's it. So, well, at least for the high level of being a projector, is there anything else that you would like to add? Anything else you think we need to know being a projector?
I mean, just love it. It's awesome. I think it's so cool to get to be this teacher, this guide for others, to see that big picture, to see the potential in people. I just love being a projector. And we talked about before, like, I have my projector shirt on and representing today, geeking out on human design. And just really for any type, you know, that whole find what lights you up and do that and go for it. And all the things will just come to you. Like, you'll be aligned if you're doing those things that you're meant to do and you stop pushing the things that you don't want to do and you're not meant to do.
Yeah. I love it. Oh my goodness. What a perfect place to end. Thank you so much for joining me, Bronwyn. It's been so good having you here. Yay.
Well, thank you for having me.
We'll have to do it again sometime.
Yes.
All right. So thank you everyone for joining. It has been another great type podcast. I hope you've learnt lots. I know you would have. And I'm going to let you all go now. Thank you so much for being here. And I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now.
Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.